You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to betfredsports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. The band Ludlow Creek was originally founded under another name, Southbound, in 2013 in Dayton, Ohio. What began as mostly a classic rock cover band by five close friends quickly morphed into a band to be known by their own original material. Thus, the name change, and now a new record. Vocalist Jeffrey Friend joins me to talk about their latest project, Hands of Time, and the journey for this band.
Hi, Jeffrey. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
Great to talk to you today. I believe you guys are based in Ohio. Is that correct?
We are. We're in Dayton, Ohio.
All right.
Just about an hour north of Cincinnati, actually.
Yeah, okay. But that's not where you are today, is that right?
No, I'm in Atlanta today, down here visiting my daughter and her son, or her husband, and our grandkids.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like a great, this is a great time of the spring and season to be on a nice little vacation trip, so good for you.
It really is, although Atlanta is really hot today.
Is it?
It's
okay.
Like 81 and rainy and damp. But it's okay.
That's
We're
right.
just hanging out with the kids and enjoying ourselves.
That's awesome. Cool. So you guys are five-piece band, is that right?
Five-piece, yep.
Yep.
Two guitars, bass, keyboards, and drums. And everybody sings.
And every music is predominantly based in the Southern rock style?
Yes. We've had a lot of people comment on our style, and it's odd because we kind of cross a lot of different genres. But when people ask us, we typically say Americana, roots rock, rock in general.
Yeah, nice big umbrella there. Had to fit in. And if I remember correctly, you guys were predominantly a cover band under a different name for quite a few years.
For many, many years, yeah, since about 2013. And we released an album under our cover band name, and quickly realized that nobody could find us because, if you look up Southbound anywhere on the web or on Spotify, there's a million of them.
Mm-hmm.
We thought really quickly, well, this isn't working. Nobody can find us.
Yeah.
So we decided we're going to do a name change, and we're just going to kind of restart everything. And go fully original, all original music. And we have been pleasantly surprised since we've done that. We've gotten some great response. We've had way more spins and listens than we ever had before. It's been a delight, and we're really excited about the future.
It's kind of interesting how maybe more people put more thought into it than I think they do, but the name of a band can really give an impression of the kind of music a listener could anticipate without ever hearing, you know, music originally. I mean, the name Southbound to me would be country, classic rock, country rock kind of thing. But yet you guys changed to Ludlow Creek, and to me that pushes you more into the Americana just by the sound of the name.
Absolutely. And we do a bit of that. I mean, one of the beautiful things about this band is we cross a lot of genres, as I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And so if you listen to one of our albums, especially our upcoming album, you're going to hear Americana stuff. You're going to hear some country stuff. You're going to hear all kinds of stuff. And we like that because, you know, we all grew up in the 70s. And back in the 70s, when you would get an album, you'd put it on and you'd get all kinds of cool stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's kind of what we're trying to do now with our music. And I know a lot of artists try to steer away from that, but we're kind of leaning into it.
Yeah. It seems to be an up-and-coming genre now for the last several years, but I don't see any decline anytime soon. I think people appreciate the organic feel and the kind of the hometown feel of Americana folk, bluegrass, alternative country sound that's coming out of groups like you guys these days.
Absolutely.
So how did the original iteration come together in the beginning as Southbound?
Well, Tom and Michelle. Tom is the bass player, and Michelle plays keys in the band. They always would have these, at least twice a year, would have these big parties, and they'd call them rock fests. And they would have all their musician friends would show up, and all these various bands would show up on a day, and they'd just set up, and there'd be band after band after band after band, and tons of people would come out and just hang out and listen to the bands, you know, music lovers and friends, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it just one big happy family kind of. Mm-hmm. And this went on for years because they really wanted to keep playing music, even though they weren't playing out or playing professionally. They wanted to keep playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this went on for years. That's how I met them. I came in as another band. I never met them. Came in as the drummer for another band and got to know them. And next thing you know, we had lost our singer, and so we asked Tom and Michelle and a guitar player friend of theirs to come alongside and put a little band together to at least open for us so that we could do a show, because once we lost the singer, we couldn't do all of our material. So they came along, and we did two or three shows like that. The next thing you know, we started talking about, well, why don't we think about putting a band together and, you know, just doing cover stuff. And in this area, you know, in the Ohio area, in Dayton, country is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very huge in that area. And we thought, well, we're more rock oriented, so why don't we choose that southern rock genre and we'll just go that route? Allman Brothers, mm-hmm. Skinner, those kinds of things. And so thus the name Southbound, you know, rose to the occasion. And that's how we met. We were all players in different bands.
Okay.
But you know, we all attended these rock fests, and I think we can attribute all of this to Tom and Michelle.
That's neat. As this band, have you all been able to play in other environments? You know, do you play out other places other than this event?
Oh yeah, absolutely. After we formed Southbound, we played all over the area there. We played the Great American Ballpark one time, open for just ahead of the Reds game.
Mm-hmm.
We played all around. We did lots and lots of festivals, lots of local bars and taverns there in Dayton. And, you know, that's how we got our name out, and we established a nice following, but like I say, people just couldn't find us for our original music. And as we were contemplating, you know, how we move forward, we had, you know, and the beauty is that there are five writers in the band. Everybody
mm-hmm.
writes.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, you know, we have all this wealth of music. We just had to do something to get it out.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys have been writing your original material all along, even while you were going out as a cover band.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I come from an advertising background. I spent, I think about 20 years working for ad agencies and in studios writing jingles and doing that kind of stuff. And it really kind of it opened my eyes to hooks.
Mm.
I mean, mm-hmm. if you're writing a commercial, you got to write something that that's hooky and people mm-hmm. can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I came from. And when I got into band, I started pushing that. I said, you know, guys, I've got some songs and you guys have got some songs. We need to develop these a little farther. So that's what we did.
Yeah. And you guys recorded an album under the original name. How long ago was that?
It's been so long. I can't remember. Maybe 2015, 16.
Okay.
In that era, maybe 15, I guess.
Yeah.
We recorded that record. And it got virtually no airplay. Virtually no one heard it except for the, you know, a few of our close friends,
right,
and family, of course.
Right. Okay.
And it was a great record. It had some great music on it. Even when I put that record on today, I'm still amazed at, wow, you know, we sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
We sound pretty good.
So what inspired the new one? What's the name of the new album?
The new album is called Which Way Is Forward.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a funny story. One of our last gigs as Southbound, we were playing a festival in Ohio, and it was kind of a German an Oktoberfest. And, you know, we had played a gig earlier in the afternoon, and then we all piled our stuff in the car and in vans and flew over to this other gig. And, you know, I unload all my stuff. I throw it up on the stage. And it's under a big tent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I climb up on the stage and look at the sound guy and say, which way is forward? Because I didn't know which way to set up.
Yeah.
They both looked at me like I was crazy and said, well, maybe into the tent? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
So the guys in the band never let me live that down. And so when we started talking about names for the album, Tom was insistent that it be Which Way Is Forward. So that's where we ended up.
We're going to take a quick break from the interview. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
So did that inspire a song? Is there a song on the album by that title?
Well, the very first song on the record is called Finding Our Way.
Okay.
Finding Our Way Back. And so it kind of all tied together after we got it going. And we have another song on the album, on the new album, called Road to Nowhere. So, you know, it had all these little think signs kind of pointed to that.
Sure.
So it felt good.
Yeah. The songs on the new album, have you guys been writing them all along, or did you set down specifically to put music together for this new album?
You know, I think we've kind of been writing all along, and some of the songs, one of the songs was written long before the second album was even thought of. I have a writing partner that I work with, and he's an amazing lyricist. I mean, he just has a way of telling a story. And we have worked together forever. He's a video producer, and we've worked together forever on commercials and various corporate events and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So he writes lyrics and sends them to me, and you know, I look at them and put them to music. And this song had been written specifically for that. It's called Stony Lonesome Road, of which there is a video out. If you go to YouTube and look up Stony Lonesome Road, you will find us.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it's one of the songs off the new album, and we're really excited about it. We've gotten some great reaction to the video and the song.
I'm guessing all of you have day jobs of some kind. This is not a full-time venture?
Well, three of us are basically retired.
Okay.
I still work just a little bit, but I am retired now. We have two guys that are still working, Alan and Dave. They're still working, but they're real close to retirement. And, you know, our basic goal is to, you know, get out on the road once they get retired and they're, you know, available full time. Then we're planning on getting out on the road and playing some shows a little farther than our normal regional area.
Yeah. Okay. That was my next question. What kind of goals do you guys have with the new name and the new album? You know, how far out do you hope that this will take you?
Well, initially we were talking about just kind of staying in that regional kind of Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, maybe venturing down into the Tennessee area.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with the reaction that we're getting and the response that we're getting, who knows? The sky's the limit at this point.
Yeah, so that would be a best case scenario to hit the road and be gone for a while and actually get to play some different venues outside of your state then.
It is, but, you know, in all honesty, we're more interested in doing little short tours. Like, we might go out for a week, come back for, you know, a week, go out for another week, mm-hmm. come back for a week. That would be our ultimate. That way we still can connect with our local area, our local families, but we get to go out and enjoy some success a little bit.
Yeah, sure. What kind of demographic do you find that your music is resonating with?
Well, I've always thought that our band should advertise an AARP, to be honest with you, because we play stuff from the 70s. I mean, our music sounds like the 70s,
right.
But if you look at our Spotify, information, we're seeing that 25 to 35.
Wow. Cool.
We're getting a lot of response there, which I was really not expecting.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, I would have guessed that the baby boomers and the Gen Xers would be the target audience. But, you know, the younger generation, though, I think is kind of tired of the, you know, 30-second TikTok songs and some of the newer music that feels more electronic than creative, at least lyrically anyway. So I that's cool. I could see that.
I would tend to agree with you. We're seeing a little of that ourselves. Absolutely.
So what's next? Do you guys have something in mind to follow this? How far out are you thinking as far as your music and new projects?
Well, we just finished mixing Which Way Is Forward, and that in fact is headed to the mastering guy and the duplication folks today, actually.
So that's not out yet.
We'll be uploading that stuff. No, that's not out yet.
Okay.
That should be out. I would figure 6 weeks or so, you'll start seeing that around. We're already working on album 3. We've got, I think there are 6 or 7 songs that we have pegged at this point. We've been rehearsing and working on for the next record.
Oh, cool. Okay.
We're really excited about the next record. It's funny because as a band, you work really hard on one record and then you move to the next one. And while that the one that you just finished working on is now going into production,
mm-hmm.
You kind of think, man, I can't wait to play these new songs, but oh yeah, we've still got this other record that's getting ready to come out. We got
right.
it's funny how the whole process works, and after a while, you kind of get caught up and you kind of forget where you're at. We're really excited about this record and the third record, especially. The third record, we're doing a lot more group writing, where instead of individual writers, it's more of a band effort.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really interesting things that are happening with that we're really excited about.
Yeah. So, are you guys self-producing, or do you have some studio help?
We are self-producing, but we learned on this particular go around with Which Way Is Forward, that it's just a whole lot easier if we track all of it and produce it ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and then send it off to somebody who's really great at mixing.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time mixing this record, and I just got to a point where, and a lot of this was done during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the writing for this was done during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and recording. And by the time we got through all of that and could get back together, you know, it's hard to do vocals sending tracks to each other.
Right,
that is
sure.
just a really hard way to work. So a lot of the stuff that we did that way, we came back in and retracked once we could all get back together after the COVID thing kind of lifted a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent so much time mixing that record that finally I just couldn't hear what was going on anymore.
Hmm.
I mean, I was getting... ear blind,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, I guess you get too close
to it. you get too close to it. So we called our friends at Sweetwater and said, you know, I know you guys have a studio. Would it be possible for us to just bring our stuff up to you and have you remix it? And so we did that several weeks ago, and we were just blown away by the results. It sounds awesome. So good.
Yeah.
So much. I think there was one track that we're going to keep my mix on, or two tracks. But we learned that next time around, we're going to cut all this stuff. We're going to make sure that it's in the can and ready to go, and we're going to send it off and let somebody else mix it.
Yeah.
Because it's good to have a second set of ears.
Sure.
It's like putting another set of eyes on your project.
Right,
it just
right,
really
yeah.
helps.
Yeah. Did you go back and rebrand the original, the first album?
We did. We re-released the original album, Hands of Time, under our new name. It was released in March.
Okay.
And we've had a lot of great reviews with that. We were pleasantly surprised.
Well, from what you'd said earlier, it sounds like a lot of people are finding you for the first time. So that's almost like your second album is on the way out on the heels of your first album instead of several years later.
Exactly. Yep. A lot of people are just now noticing it.
Yeah.
Just now hearing about it.
Are you guys able to get out now? What kind of resistance are you feeling, you know, with the post-pandemic? I was talking to somebody yesterday that's in the New York area, and they're still struggling with, you know, masks, lockdowns, you know, can we go out, can we not kind of thing. And so every part of the country is a little bit different. Are you guys finding pretty easy to get out?
Well, in Ohio so far, we're not really having any issues. But, you know, as it's now starting to fire up in New York, and I know, you know, the Northeast is kind of bearing down under some of that, we're anticipating it's heading our way. I think we have four or five shows booked that we'd really like to complete.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, the first couple of them are in June, and we're really excited to get out there and do those. And hoping that this whole thing doesn't fall in on us.
Yeah.
With COVID again.
Yeah.
We got our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I think a lot of us do. You know, at some point, politics aside, we need to live, or we won't get to create and enjoy, you know, the creation that we live in, the space, the world, the nature, all of the music. And I think it's a vital part of surviving. So hopefully
it really is. I mean, we have to have interaction with other people.
We do.
It's just, you know, we need that. It's part of who we are. It's part of our beings. And you know, there are vaccines out there, although a lot of people are against them. We've all been vaccinated, and we're ready to just, you know, go the long haul.
Yeah, sure. That's awesome. Well, I wish you well with it. Thank you, Jeffrey, for taking the time to share a little bit of your story, and certainly excited for the second album to hit the streets, and hopefully it will bring you guys tremendous success.
Thank you. It's just been a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.